It's time to join the American Family Robinson again in Centerville. The Centerville Herald is in difficulties and has been threatened with having to stop publication. The paper has been running a deficit, and its capital has long since been used. The news came as a shock to the Robinson family, who took it for granted that the Herald was the one permanent thing in a changing world. Editor Luke's family have taken it like the true Americans they are, and are already applying their initiative to get the paper back on its feet. Even his daughter Betty has threatened to get a job, although her husband, Dick Collins, and Mrs. Robinson disapprove. Now we are in the office of the Centerville Herald. The door to Editor Luke's sanctum is closed, and behind it a stockholders' meeting is going on, which will decide the fate of the paper. Young Bob Robinson is hanging around Dot McGillicuddy's switchboard, keeping an anxious eye on the door.
Oh, my goodness, Bob Robinson, do you have to keep that up all the time? It's driving me into a state of nerves.
Huh? What?
Oh, that pencil. Can't you, for goodness sakes, just put it down a minute? Anybody'd think you were waiting for a jury to bring in a verdict of guilty.
Well, I am waiting for a jury. When those men come out of that room...
Oh, Bunny, don't be silly. It's nothing but an old stockholders' meeting. They're always having them. They don't mean anything.
Yeah, well, this one means something, Dot. It means everything.
Oh, I know what they're like. I've seen pictures of them in the movies. Oh, many's the time. All they do is sit around and smoke big black cigars and talk about golf scores and ogle.
Ogle, Dot? Ogle what?
The stenographer, of course. You see, she's always beautiful and supporting her poor old mother. And then the stockholders fall in love with her.
Oh, you're crazy, Dot. There isn't any stenographer in there in the first place. And in the second place, they wouldn't ogle one if she were there. And in the last place, they're there because they're probably going to lose the money they invested in the Herald. So they're not thinking about any golf scores.
Oh, well, they'll never miss the money. They're always rich men who place a fortune on one turn of the wheel. In the movies,
yeah, maybe in the movies, but not in real life. But the people in there, none of them can afford to lose money. They're all people who've saved a dollar by dollar and worked hard for it. They put it in the Herald just as people invest in any business, because they had faith in the paper. Now, well, that's what's going to just about kill Dad.
Well, why should that kill your father? He doesn't have to pay him back, does he? And anyhow, it wasn't his fault. It's not like as if he took the money or anything.
Oh, you just don't understand about these things, Dot. You don't know what it means to Dad. To have the Herald be the best paper in the state for so many years and have all his friends think enough of his ability as a businessman to invest their money in it? Well, the Herald's been the apple of my dad's eye. Dad'd rather lose an arm than have him lose their money or his employees lose their jobs.
Huh? Oh, my goodness. Bunny, you know, man, stand there and tell me the employees are going to lose their jobs.
Well, there isn't any money to pay them with. I don't see how they can help losing them.
Bunny, you mean me, too? I'm going to be fired just because the old paper isn't making money?
If your employer can't put any money in your pay envelope, I guess you will be fired. There's no reason to insult the paper. It's a good paper. Why, it's the best...
Oh, well, I think that's just mean. That's what it is. Oh, and I've been saving for ever so long to buy the most gorgeous coat in Blaheim's window. Oh, but with a big fox fur collar, just like one Garbo wore in one of her pictures. Now, I suppose I can't have it. And all because your father all of a sudden can't make his newspaper pay. And after all the years I've been faithful...
Now, wait a minute, Dot McGillicuddy. You're not the only one that suffers on account of this. There are plenty of others around here that need their money more than you do, and Dad suffers most of all.
Well, but that doesn't make me feel any better. And if you want to know what I think...
I don't.
I think that after all these years of faithful service I put in with your father, it isn't, well, quite honorable of him to let me out just like that.
Honorable? If he weren't honorable, he wouldn't have paid you out of his capital all this while. He wouldn't have kept you on a minute after the paper stopped showing a profit. Why, as long as he could, he hung on, keeping everybody on with profits of past years, when there were even some people he could have gotten along swell without.
Oh, well, if you're referring to me, Robert Robinson, as one whom he could have better done without, with whom, with... Well, I wish to point out...
You don't have to point out anything to me, Dot McGillicuddy. You've already pointed yourself out to me, as a person without the slightest feeling of gratitude for something somebody sacrificed.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sure nobody around here has done me any favors. I've earned every cent I've gotten.
Well, if you haven't got any more loyalty for this paper than that, I guess it's a pretty good thing you are getting fired. I'm glad there's one angle of this thing I'll be able to enjoy, and that's when you get your walking papers.
Why, Bunny?
Oh, don't bunny me, Dot McGillicuddy, and don't expect me to come around taking you to any more movies either.
But, Bunny, oh, I don't see how you can get so excited about a mere job.
A mere job, eh? So that's what you think. If you had half the brains I used to think you had, you know there's no such thing as a mere job. You're either wasting your time and your employer's both, or you're helping him to build the very best business you can so that both of you can get the benefits of success.
Oh, well, all right, Bunny, all right, but don't yell at me. All I meant was, well, and naturally I'd feel sore when I found out I'm going to be fired through no fault of my own, but that's no reason to bite my head off, Bunny. Oh, goodness. Good morning, Centerville Herald. Mr. Robinson? No, he's in a stockholders meeting right now. No, I can't get him. Well, I don't know how long. You see, they have to decide if the paper's bankrupt.
Dot, for Pete's sake, what's the matter with you?
Excuse me a minute. Bob Robinson, what do you mean, what's the matter?
What's the idea of spreading the news all over town? Haven't you got any sense at all?
Well, I don't see why not. You said that's what they were
doing. Give me that phone. I don't know what I ever saw in you, Dot McGillicuddy. Hello? This is Bob Robinson. Can I take a message for Editor Robinson? Oh, Mr. Billings. Nothing's the matter. Yeah, I know she did. She's kind of hysterical.
Bob Robinson, I am not hysterical.
Shut up! Yes, Mr. Billings? Well, you're sure there isn't any way of doing it? Yeah, but Mr. Billings, suppose... Well, look, how would it be if I signed a note, too? Well, no. Well, I haven't anything you could exactly call an asset, except a silver cup I won in a tennis tournament. Would that... No. No, I don't suppose it would. Yeah. Well, I'll tell him. Goodbye.
I don't see why you're so mean all of a sudden. Why, the idea of saying shut up to a lady.
If I could have thought of something worse at the minute, I'd have said that.
Oh?
That was the banker. That's who it was. And you volunteering the information the paper is bankrupt.
Well, my goodness, Bunny, he'll know it sooner or later.
No, not if we can help it. Not if everybody in this paper with any sense or loyalty or even decency can help it.
Oh, Bunny, look there. Look, the door's opening. Do you think I'll be fired right away? I should think the switchboard operator ought to be the last, because
they're
still...
Now, they're coming out. They don't look very cheerful.
No.
I don't see Dad. No. Say, Mr. Peabody, could you tell me...
Stockholders meetings. I tell you, Joe, I wake up screaming in the night just thinking about them. Why, when I think how I worked and saved to become a stockholder... How my father advised me to invest in the future of my country. How I figured, along with millions of people like me, on an income that was safe, on putting my money into business.
I know, I've heard it all before. And now, soak the rich. We're the rich.
Gee, they didn't sound as if... Well, I guess the worst has happened. I wonder why Dad doesn't come out.
Well, my goodness, if you want to see him so much, why don't you get in there where he is? And Bunny, while you're there, will you ask him how about my job? If I'm to be cast aside like an old shoe...
I don't think he wants to see anybody now. And he especially doesn't want to be bothered with questions about persons that are nothing but their own selfish interests at heart.
Oh, all right. If that's the way you feel. If you think I'm so selfish, you can just go and sit on somebody else's sofa. Mine's going to be occupied by others, I thank you.
I already said we're through, didn't I? And I'm not going to be sitting on anybody's sofa. I'm through with women. I guess you open my eyes at last to the shallowness of them all. Be sure you get yours. That's all you think of.
Oh, Bob, I'd like to talk to you a minute.
Oh, Dick. Say, listen, Dick. What happened? Is it all over?
It's pretty bad, kid. Unless there's a miracle of some kind, the stockholders have decided to suspend publication at the end of this week.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh, Dick. Can't we arrange a miracle?
There's one last hope. If the bank will give us a loan,
bank. Mr. Billings just called, Dick, while you were in there.
Did he say whether he'd...
Yeah. He said no.
No. He was pretty definite about it.
Yeah, I'll say. Wouldn't even accept my offer to sign a note.
No, I guess he wouldn't, Bob.
But Dad, how is he?
He's taking it awfully hard, Bob. He wants us to get the whole staff together in the newsroom. He wants to talk to them, and, well, it's going to be pretty terrible.
We can't do it, Dick. We can't do that.
Why not? It has to be gone through. I'd rather be shot than watch your dad telling them.
Yeah, well, we can't. Well, it isn't as if they'd understand him, Dick, how he feels. I found that out already. A certain person that was the last person in the world I'd expect to be callous and hard, just giving me a sample of what we can expect. And I'm not let him gonna say the things to Dad that she said to me. Not if I have to go around and fire every one of them myself, personally.
Oh, Dot McGillicuddy isn't typical, Bob. She's just a flighty young thing. You can't expect her to realize what's happening to your father and to the Herald. The other members of the staff will be different, you'll see. The old-timers who have been with your father for 20 years, they know. They'll make it as easy for him as it can be made, Bob.
Well, gee, can't we do it, Dick, instead of him? I'll talk to him myself.
No, he wants to do it, Bob. He wants to apologize.
Apologize? For what? For keeping them on when anybody else would have laid them off more than half of them long ago? For working his head off nearly for the paper for them for 20 years?
I know. And I think they know. But that's the kind of man your father is, kid. He takes the responsibility of having employees pretty much to heart. Any employer does who's worth his salt. And you see, your father is worth his salt.
Oh, gosh, if there were only something we could do. You and me, I mean. We're young and we got brains.
Sure, and maybe there is something. We'll have a private meeting of our own after this one and see what we can think up. How's that?
Oh, swell. We'll have a private directors meeting. Directors of the Save the Herald Society.
All right. But now I'd better round up the staff, and you'd better go in and see if there's anything you can do for him. Miss McGillicuddy, would you please go to the newsroom and wait there for me?
Dad. Dad.
Huh? What?
It's me, Dad.
Oh, yes, Bob. Glad you came in, son. I wanted to talk to you.
No, you don't have to talk, Dad, and unless there's something I can do to help you.
No, guess not. I'm sorry, Bob. I thought you'd grow up with the Herald. I thought it would be good for you, that the Herald could do things for you.
Oh, Dad, for Pete's sake. The Herald's done plenty for me. Why, I was lucky to even have a chance of working on it. I have grown up with it, Dad.
You're a good son, Bob. But I'm afraid you've wasted your time here. You could have gone into something else, maybe, and have started a successful career.
Dad, will you quit talking like that? The Herald is my career. It's already done a lot for me. It's taught me all I know, and now it's only fair that I do something for the Herald. I'd be a fine man to quit cold now.
Well, there's not much you can do for the Herald now. You might as well quit as to get down with it.
Dad, I'm surprised that you're that easy discouraged. Gee, say, do you remember when Mr. Markham almost lost his factory? How you encouraged him and saw him through? He came out all right, didn't he? And now, just because it's happened to you, well, you can't quit. Remember what you told him about how his ancestors wouldn't have quit and how he couldn't either? How there'd be some way of carrying on no matter what? That this is the land of opportunity.
Yes, I remember.
Well, then, how about you? Didn't you have the same kind of ancestors, the kind that didn't quit till they made the best country in the world for us? Well, then, how can you sit there and talk about the Herald going down? The Herald can't go down. It's up to you and me to see that it doesn't.
I guess it is, Bob. I didn't think I could face it alone. I was willing to quit, but when you say you and me, well, that makes it different, a lot different. You don't know how you're helping me just by saying that.
Why, of course it's you and me, and Dick, too. Oh, what the heck, Dad?
Mr. Robinson,
yes?
The staff is ready in the newsroom. They're waiting for you.
Good. That's swell. Shall we all go in together?
And there's a combination that will be hard to beat. Is the Herald finished, or will Editor Luke, with Bob and Dick by his side, pull through? Join us in our next program and see what happens. Until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Douglas Silver and Marjorie Bartlett and produced by the National Industrial Council.